If you're looking to ensure your place, Sheila's Wheels are super ace. We've got an offer that astounds. Get a gift card for £40 for brilliant home insurance deals. Go direct to Sheila's Wheels.
£40 e-gift card applies for new home essentials policies purchased direct between the 5th of March and the 28th of April 2026. See terms and conditions at sheilaswheels.com.
Can we talk about sugar for a second? Because I don't think the problem is that people don't know sugar isn't great for them. The problem is to try and cut it out and do really well for a few days. You maybe even do well for a few weeks, and then something happens. You're right back into it, grabbing something quick, craving it, thinking about it. And then comes the feeling of, why can't I get a handle on this? Today, we're talking about something that so many women deal with quietly, including myself. I literally have 10 p.m. sugar cravings all the time. And there's this cycle of trying to cut sugar, falling back into it, and feeling like you're constantly starting over. Christine Shrimp is here, and she is a woman who helps other women break free from sugar, but in a way that doesn't feel restrictive or miserable. And she's here to talk about this exact cycle. So I think this is something that we hear all the time. Women saying, I'm trying to cut sugar and I've tried to cut it out so many times and I always end up back where I started. Christine, it is so good to have you here. Why do you think women are so caught in this sugar cycle?
Hey, Lisa, thank you so much for hosting me today. Oh, it's such a complicated question, but I have discovered so many answers along the way of my 10-year healing journey, what I call my I Quit Sugar journey, and I've been so privileged to be able to step into this so that I can help other women step into the freedom. So it is a vicious cycle for sure. I was trapped in that cycle for 30 years, believe it or not, 30 years of yo-yo dieting. And if you had told me, Lisa, back at my highest weight or my lowest point in my life, that I was addicted to sugar, I would not have understood what you were saying, right? It's for me, it was like the white knuckling of dieting. And why couldn't I get a handle on this? Yeah, I would have said I was maybe overindulging in food at the time. But however, I really was trying to stick with a standard American diet loaded in carbohydrates now that I know in hindsight. And so for me, what was not helping and what I've learned that helps other women step into this journey of getting over the sugar cravings and everything, is all about my metabolic health. And for those 30 years that I joined dietary programs, not one single doctor or dietitian or nutritionist ever talked to me specifically about my metabolic health. So for me, that's really key to what happened, because weight loss, in the end, it ended up being, for me and other women that have metabolic dysfunction like me, it ended up being about my hormonal health. And we never talked about that. And sugar is a major hormone disruptor. So I'm here today to talk as much as you want about sugar and to help women get over this sugar that is driving the disease in our lives, because it can be, you can overcome this and you can actually step into a weight loss victory that lasts.
Yeah. And so many people struggle with this, including myself. And, you know, I lead a pretty healthy lifestyle, but I go through these phases of, I just feel like I don't have a handle on it. And it feels like it's something physical and that it's like a real dependence. So is this more of a mindset or is it more of a habit issue?
I would say equal parts, right? And for me as a woman of faith, it was actually spiritual too. So when I finally addressed my whole being holistically, body, mind, spirit, that's when everything started shifting for me. And I started stepping into freedom and walking in a new health. Healthy lifestyle. But the dependence is real. Like, sugar is addictive. There's a lot of science to back that up now. I'm so grateful that people are talking about it more now and you hear about it in the news. I would say maybe 10 years ago when I was at my highest weight and my worst health, if somebody had come up to me and said, you're a sugar addict, I would have been like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I was living a lifestyle of yo-yo dieting that was, and following the dietary mantra, things like just eat less and move more. And the one that really tripped me up as a sugar addict was everything in moderation. Well, that advice doesn't work for somebody that is you know, stuck on an addictive substance like sugar. Sugar is addictive. It is a brain, an addiction is a brain disorder, right? So it wasn't entirely anything that I could understand at the time, because I never would have said I'm an addict. But now that I see everything in moderation and sugar is highly addictive, it's hyper palatable, your brain lights up, your brain wants more. And that's the cycle I was stuck in for 30 years. And now in my training as a sugar addiction specialist, just learning so much more and understanding like, wow, that wasn't all completely my fault, you know? It was just a lack of understanding on what sugar was doing to my health. And not only that, you know, it's addictive, but sugar's that major hormone disruptor too. So my hormones were so out of whack and my metabolism was never able to heal when I was living with advice like everything in moderation, because it just kept driving that addictive behavior and those addictive patterns of sugar and carb consumption too. When I say sugar, I don't just mean the sweet stuff. I actually mean the sweet stuff and the flours and the grains and the starches and of course the ultra processed foods. They're all highly addictive.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have an interesting question, because I've noticed, like, I'm drawing from personal experience here. So I've noticed when I have been able to cut out sugar for a long period of time that I don't quite crave it, but I do have cravings sometimes. So what is the difference between sugar craving and being dependent on it? Is there a relation to that?
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky because again, we do the sugar addiction can drive, like, there is physiological things going on, right? Your brain actually is telling your body, your responses, your choices, like, hey, I need fuel. Like, you are robbing me of fuel. And sugar is a fuel for our body, right? But it's not, I always tell my coaching clients, I'm like, it's not a very efficient fuel, because you have to replenish it all the time. And that's how we end up overindulging in carbohydrates and sugars to keep fueling our body. And once it runs out, the brain lights up and like, hey, I'm missing something, you know? But then emotionally, it can, you know, these cravings can bubble up on an emotional level as well, too, based on what our body remembers. So this is where it gets really complicated. Women, right now I'm living in some nervous system dysregulation because of some stress in my life. And so, you know, the phrase, and there's actually a well-known book written called The Body Keeps the Score. So the body knows what, you know, the body knows what it used to comfort itself in the past, to cope with, to what it just relied on to get through a season of stress or a period of stress or a flight or fright moment. So your body is keeping the score. And, you know, those emotional cravings that bubble up are really, I always tell my coaching clients, like, the emotional part of this journey of overcoming sugar addiction and stepping into a healthy lifestyle, the emotional part is really going to be the hardest part. But when we get the physical part down, like when we wean off of sugar and those sugar cravings do quiet, like you mentioned, that does happen. It makes it that much easier to have healthier emotional responses and spiritual responses to what we're putting in our body.
For sure. So you mentioned something earlier that I thought was interesting. You said white knuckling it. So what does white knuckling it actually look like in real life? Like, what are women experiencing day to day when they're trying to cut sugar the hard way?
Yeah, I remember those. I refer to my restrictive dieting days, and that was white knuckling it, because I really felt like it was all on me to have to make these choices, to count my calories, to make sure that I was eating less and moving more. And I would do that for periods of time, Lisa, and I would get a little bit of success. And then I would be like exercising more than I enjoyed exercising, and nothing, like, I was not getting any results from that. And I was constantly feeling deprived. Like, I was feeling deprived throughout the day, like, to the point of starvation, right? And it's like, oh, but I've already counted my calories or my points for the day, and I've already met my limitations. And that's where that white knuckling comes in. Like, that's where we feel like we have to rely sheerly on willpower, and willpower doesn't last, right? But when you get the proper information for you to help heal these chronic diseases and your metabolic health, and you start understanding the proper way to fuel your body, I actually eat more calories now than I ever did in my diet days. So I focus on protein and healthy fats and very limited carbohydrates. And just like having that healthy fats and eating more protein than I ever did in the past helps fill me up, satiates me, satisfies me. And it's really amazing to me that I can look at, I don't count calories. Like that's not something I daily keep track of. But every once in a while, when I use my Carb Manager app, I will see how many calories I ate for the day. And I'm like, wow, that's way more than I ever used to eat in my, 1,000 to 1,200 calorie day dieting years, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was funny that you're talking about white knuckling it. We go through these phases of being really, really good for a while. And I'll speak for myself. I would go through like 2 weeks of eating so clean and so well. And then on a Friday night, I have this wonderful idea that I'm going to treat myself and go pick up like a Dairy Queen cake or something and indulge in that. And then it's like, you're back to square one. And that can be so incredibly frustrating. It's so satisfying in the moment, but it's so incredibly frustrating. And there's so many dynamics to it, because on one end, you want to treat yourself and you want to live and you don't want to deprive yourself. But at the other end, that can be so destructive. So you talk about breaking free from sugar without deprivation. And I mean, a lot of people hear that, including myself. How do you do that? Like, what does that actually look like in practice?
Yeah, I want to share a short story that will address what you just talked about and then also answer the question. So in one of my crazy diet adventures, right before I turned 40, you know how women are always concerned about turning a new decade? Like, I want to do better. I want to be live at a healthy weight. So right before I turned 40, I enrolled in a hospital-based program that I drank nothing but liquid protein shakes, Lisa, for 10 months. And I did not cheat. Yeah. 800 calories a day. And I did lose some weight, but I did not get quite to my goal weight that I had set in my mind. And I just couldn't like think about drinking shakes anymore. Like I was getting to the point like, okay, let's switch you to our maintenance program, which is the Whole Foods. And so I started following the eating plan that they had. And that included things like whole wheat bread, whole wheat pasta, half a baked potato, sweet potatoes. And when I started eating that food again, the weight started coming back on. And I was completely devastated. Like you mentioned the word devastated. That's what brought up this story. And I threw up my hands in the air and I just gave up because I had just spent thousands of dollars. And 11 months of my life dedicated to this program. And again, I was very adherent to all of it. And it was soul crushing. But what happened in hindsight is I'm someone who's very carbohydrate intolerant. I have insulin resistance, recovered from it now, but I had insulin resistance, metabolic dysfunction, prediabetes, eventually ended up with fatty liver, that I could not have been introduced back to food in a more destructive way at that time, right? I needed to be focusing more on protein and low-carb vegetables, and I can tolerate dairy, so I could have a little bit of dairy. So just introducing that level of carbohydrate back onto my plate, which was half my plate, that's like made the weight come back on. And again, that was devastating. So, to answer your question, like the devastation was there. I lived through that 10 months. I look back and think, yeah, that was deprivation. Like that was not a very wise choice. I don't recommend it to anybody. But now that I switched my mindset when it comes to food, and I've moved from food being a source of comfort and coping and my crutch and my secret eating, all of those things, I moved away from that. And I've adopted a mindset more of that food is fuel. And there is lots of food from what I call God's good smorgasbord that can help satisfy us and satiate us. And I don't feel deprived anymore. I honestly do not feel deprived because of the good health that I enjoy. I lost a massive amount of weight. I reversed prediabetes. I reversed fatty liver disease, chronic sleep apnea, all of these things. So I'm walking much healthier day to day. So I don't feel deprived. And if I do ever want to feel like I have a need for a dessert or something, like we just had the Easter holiday, right? When holidays come up or church potlucks come up, I might make like a keto dessert with a sugar substitute. So if I want something that is sweet, I can use a sugar substitute like monk fruit or a stevia blend or something like that and still get that same satisfaction, because your taste buds actually do change too towards the sweetness. Like if I ate somebody's you know, if somebody baked an apple pie, I would think that's really sweet, you know, if it's not using sugar substitutes. So that's what I mean and how I can say that we can do this and not feel deprived and not feel like we're missing out on life. First of all, those sugar cravings do quiet. So you don't like have this maddening craving for sweetness all day, every day, like I used to. That's the freedom of it. That's the freedom that I love to talk about. That's the freed in my method, which is called sugar freed. And the emphasis is on the freed, because that's what I want every woman to experience.
Yeah, it's so funny how, you know, you cut out something like salt or sugar and then you have it and it's like, wow, it's so powerful. Like, it's absolutely insane. How much do you believe of this eating sugar is emotional? Because it's not only about food. How does stress, emotions, and habits play into all of this?
That is the hard work in this journey, right? And it is something that I can look back on my history. In childhood, I had a really great childhood. I didn't have any, you know, I didn't have any traumatic issues in my childhood. But just like most children, we are rewarded with sugar, right? So we're like, oh, if you like, we're going to go do this. And at the end of the day, we're going to go get ice cream. Or, you know, we had the little dippy Swiss cake rolls in my house all the time. You know, we just had things like that, or lollipops at the doctor's office, you know? So I believe that my brain started seeing sugar as a reward. And it does give you that dopamine hit in your brain. Your brain loves that, right? This is all how sugars, the addiction is driving you. So yeah, it's just part of the way that we grew up. And for so many of us women that are stuck in this yo-yo dieting cycle, we go, when I do a sugar diagnostic assessment with them, it goes all the way back to childhood for 99% of my clients, right? And then, of course, some of us have much deeper traumatic issues in our history, and we turn to food and sugar as a source of comfort, as a source of protection, as a source of safety. So that's a deep part of the work, is having to overcome that. But when you are dealing with sugar addiction, like 99% of the women I help, when you're dealing with sugar addiction, the very first best course of treatment is the diet. Like, we can make dietary choices. I'm not saying it's easy, but that is the easiest choice we can make, because we have control over what actually goes in our mouth, right? So when we get a diet set in play, like, and we're comfortable with it and we're living it out day by day and we're getting these little wins, they're building and stacking upon each other. We're losing the weight we want to lose. We're reversing the chronic health issues. The diet is actually going to help stabilize you if you need to go deeper in that emotional work and overcoming those emotional wounds and the trauma that have brought you to the place of using food for your source of comfort. So it is a huge journey, right? And for women of faith too, we carry a ton of guilt and shame over this, because we know deep down, we know that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God calls us to care for our temple. And we know after all of these years that food and sugar have kept this authority in our life, that piles on the guilt and shame. But the freedom, again, there, the freedom is that knowing that this is not completely and entirely our fault because of poor dietary advice we've been giving, or understanding that sugar can really be addictive. And that takes a lot of work to overcome all that. But putting it all together, again, body, mind, and spirit, healing physically, emotionally, and spiritually, this is where the women are being set free. This is what set me free. I have no fear of living in morbid obesity again. Absolutely zero fear of going back there because of everything I've experienced. And now I get the pleasure of helping other women do the same.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. Thanks so much for sharing some of your story. I just remember, so personally, I went through an addiction in my 20s. And when I was recovering from that addiction, I became addicted to sugar. So it was like the next thing. And so suddenly I'm not using the substances, the chemical substances anymore. But now I'm just craving so much sugar. And in hindsight, I'm looking back at it, it's because my body wanted dopamine and it wasn't getting it anymore. But it was just like one thing to the next. And then I got a hold of that, but I still was using sugar in high emotional situations. So I can remember times sitting on my couch eating a container of ice cream after going through a breakup, you know, and that was my way of pacifying my body. It can be so incredibly challenging, and you have to have that mindset shift. So this is such an important conversation because I don't really think women have been shown the way to get a hold of this.
Right. Because we're just told, like when I was 100 pounds overweight, every time I would go to the doctor's office, the doctor would look at me and say, you need to lose some weight. I'm like, really? Like, tell me something. Like, I don't know, you know, but they never had a solution for me. And I'm not blaming doctors or dietitians that didn't understand, you know, or even put together the emotional part of this journey, right? And addiction is one disease and it has many different outlets. And you just shared that with everybody. You know, you were addicted to a different kind of substance and then replaced it with sugar. I see that a lot in people that are, a lot of the women that I coach are surprisingly recovered alcoholics. And now they're addicted to sugar. And so we have to work through that. Like, and it, I give them so much hope because I'm like, look, you overcame a serious addiction already in your life. You can do this, right? You can do this. You can treat and honor your body well with whole and nourishing foods. So we get to work and we get that done. And yeah, they overcome another addiction.
Yeah. And I think it's also important for us to talk about some of the quote unquote noise out there. And because you talked about your own story with those shakes, you spent how much money drinking those shakes for how many months, and there wasn't a long-term result. And so there's all this media out there giving these quick fixes or easy ways. Take this supplement and you'll feel amazing. Take this every day and it's not cheap. And I just feel like it's so misleading. It comes down to foundational things, right? We have to strip everything away and start from scratch. When you finally broke free from the cycle for yourself, do you remember what it was that helped you the most or what it was that got you on this right track?
Yeah, it was what really got me on this right track was hearing a doctor who cares about metabolic health in a short video series that I watched by him. He just looked in the camera and he said, this is not your fault. And I was like blown away. I got tears in my eyes hearing that. And then I got this, he went on to share about how eating a low carb way of eating and fasting would help heal my metabolism. And that was not anything, again, that anybody had ever shared with me. So that was the hope that I cling to. And then that was the last day I ate bread, potatoes, and pasta. Hearing him say that, I was like, that's it. Now I know what I, that was like the last key to my obesity, unlocking my obesity. And then I just started stacking all these little wins. And then before long, I realized that my mood was improving. I had so much energy. My brain fog was gone. And so I was sold. I was like completely sold. I'm like, look what sugar in moderation has been doing to my health all of these years. And so I cleaned that up. I now live what I call sugar sober. I dropped the sugar shackles. And for me, as a woman of faith, it was actually, most importantly, a very spiritual journey. And it was my heart. My heart changed, not the kind of heart that my cardiologist was concerned about. My actual, like my spiritual health, my heart health, like the heart is the wellspring of life. And so just healing that in this physical, emotional, spiritual journey is really like the key for everything, because my heart changed towards every aspect of my life. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago, sitting on the side of a mountain, morbidly obese, and I couldn't climb. I just have a very different perspective and outlook on life now, and it's all much more positive. We can do another talk sometime about the emotional weight that women like me carry when it comes to that guilt and shame. But yeah, that really, the heart and understanding that this was not entirely my fault, that was really the key that changed my life.
Thank you for sharing that. And Christine, what would you say to the woman out there who's listening to this and just feels so incredibly helpless? Like they're at the end of their rope, they're just exhausted and they're struggling. What would you say to them?
I would say, please cling to whatever little bit of hope that you have right now. And let's just increase that and grow it and try something new, something different, right? No diet program ever handed me this key to unlocking my obesity like ditching sugar did for me. And I know it can sound like a really big switch or kind of drastic in your life, but if you wean yourself off sugar step by step, which is how I coach. That's my coaching philosophy, because we need to stack these little wins to keep us going, right? So I have a free guide too that people can grab called Break the Sugar Cycle. And it's a 7-step plan, not a 7-day plan. It's a 7-step plan. So you can take it at your own pace, but just show up and have a mindset to be open to try something new and give it a try. Like, you can do anything for a short period of time. And I promise you, I coach women through a 21-day sugar-free detox. And I promise you, if you are not seeing changes at 21 days, then like, you're not showing up and doing the work, because these women are experiencing dramatic changes in their physical health, their emotional health, and their spiritual health. And that can, things can change in 21 short days. So keep that hope alive.
That little glimmer. There's always a little glimmer that you can see. And if you hang on to that, you can make it through, right? So Christine, can you tell everyone more about the work that you do and perhaps where people can find you?
Yes, I left a career in corporate America to write and speak and most importantly, coach women into this freedom. So I am the founder of the Sugar Freed Method, and I have written a book called Sugar Freed. They work hand in hand. And I would love for anybody that feels like they are stuck in this cycle of yo-yo dieting, sugar addiction, poor metabolic health, to reach out to me and connect with me. They can find me on my website. They can grab that free guide, Break the Sugar Cycle, that I just talked about at breaksugarcycle.com. And that's I think it's about a 10-page guide that will give you some great next steps. Like, you take that first step, take the next step. Again, I do a step-by-step approach and would love to have you consider trying out 21-day sugar-free detox too. I mean, that's really the open doorway to take that first step into breaking up with sugar once and forever, I say.
Thank you so much. This was such an important conversation. Thanks for being here today. Do you have any last minute thoughts, or do you think, is there anything that we missed?
No, I just want to reiterate to have hope and express the level of freedom and greater joy in living when you are feeling better. I always say, when we feel better, we serve better. So let's show up and do that, because I believe we all have a purpose in our lives. And when we feel better, we can just show up and perform better, right?
Absolutely. So thanks again for being here. And thank you to our audience for tuning in. This is one of those conversations that so many people need, because it's not about cutting everything out and being miserable. It's about understanding what's going on so you can finally break the pattern. So again, Christine, thank you. And if you guys want to connect with Christine, we're going to put all of her information in the show notes for you to have easy access to her stuff and her detox. And if this episode hit you, send it to someone who's been stuck in the same cycle, because you don't have to keep doing this the hard way. Stay tuned for the next episode. And if you're struggling, we understand, we've been there. You've got this. Looking on to that, keep looking for that glimmer. Until next time, take care, everybody.